You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on The Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Crazy in here, a whole sea of purple and gold waving in here. Keep a plank on the Shark Tank, traders beware, because we got a whole bunch of rowdy sailors in here. Armed and ready, bang the lane, be aware, because if the backboard break, glass is spray everywhere. We're lighting up the scoreboard, you came with a flare, but we put it out quick.
Welcome into the Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective TSO. And with me, my good buddy, my brother from a different mother, Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, man?
Doing well, Dave. What a start to an era last night. Oh, yeah. It was ugly in the first half, but the Pirates, give them credit, they showed a lot as we'll discuss over the next half hour or so. There's so much that's just unknown going into that game. To see them respond the way they did was tremendous.
Yes, it was. And I was sitting there texting you guys at halftime and really worried, obviously. But the more I was thinking about it, and I was finally walking away from the table there in Harvey Hall, and I was like, you know what? This is only the first game of the season, and that was the very first half of the first game of the season. And what hit me, Bubba, I didn't even tell you today, is that I felt like it was kind of like opening night jitters. And because this all of a sudden, there towards that first, we'll get deep dive into it, but after the first half there, towards the end of the first half, they started to finally, play as a team. They started to finally gel, I felt like, and get together. And there's a big difference between, they've been practicing for a long time now, but a big, big difference between practicing in the off season, practicing, it's been a month or more, and then all of a sudden, here you are in the first game. Game time, as you know, Bubba, coaching and playing and practice is way different.
No doubt. Pirates, 77-75 winners over the Mercer Bears. And we started the game off on one of the pieces you knew on to some degree what you could expect from this young man, and that was Brandon Johnson. You saw a lot of good things from him last year. In the non-conference, he didn't do as much within the American. But you really felt good about his ceiling. He felt as though he has a very high ceiling. And Brandon, he knocked down a couple of threes early off the wing. It looked like Vance Jackson. Where did that range come from? You had heard that he had developed a three-point shot, but that surprised me when we saw him knock down those from so deep there in the first few minutes of the game. And then from that point on, Mercer really, established control of the game. At that point, they built, I think their largest lead was 16.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're about midway through the first half, or actually not even that far into it. They had a double figures lead less than 7 minutes in. They were red hot. They knocked down 4 3-pointers in the first 6.5 to 7 minutes and led 20-8, and then extended that lead out to, like I said, 16 points before the Pirates closed the half. They were still down 15 with about 2 minutes there or so in the half. And you had the big dunk. You had Javon Small with the ball on the left wing, shot faked, went baseline, threw down a dunk that I didn't know he had in him, quite honestly. And then we get a big steal, and R.J. Felton has a fast break dunk. And suddenly that lead goes from 15-9, or deficit for us, the lead for the Bears goes from 15-9, and we carried that momentum over and continued to chip away early in the second half.
No doubt. I'll tell you what, that was that's exactly what they – I was proud of the team because teams in the past – we talk about this with Mike Houston with the football team, but teams in the past with basketball would have just given, and we would have kind of just been trading baskets or maybe cut the lead a little bit. But that sparked there. In fact, our good friend Tony Parham, I think the world Tony, as he knows, and I know you do too, Bubba. Tony, one of the best to put it, put that purple and gold on. He said that 6-0 run at the end of the half was huge. He put that up on Facebook. Tony, thank you, my friend, for always supporting us. And I'll put that up there. Certainly was huge. And that was exactly what you're talking about, Bubba, was the fact that we were able to close the gap. And then we, you know, it's kind of like with football when you defer to the second half or you get a big stop and you score early in this, you know, third quarter. Well, the same thing with basketball. We were able to have that 6-0 run. Then we come out fired up in the second half. And really, another thing too, Bubba, was the fact that you pointed out, I didn't know the exact percentage, but I know that in that first half when Mercer was on fire, I believe if off the top of my head, you said they were shooting 71% at that point in the first half. Or there was a stretch there where I remember you texted.
Yeah, at one point they were they finished the half. They cooled off there at the end when we made the 6-0 run. They were shooting or shot 60%, 15 out of 25 in the first half, 5 out of 9 from 3. And then Coach Schwartz, and he was in his post-game remarks just saying that offensively, he felt as though the ball, you know, sticking too much. He didn't think that it was a matter of selfishness whatsoever. It's just first game, jitters, maybe locked up a bit. You know, so focused on what they were trying to do that they didn't let the game come to them. shot too many threes. We shot 18 threes, I think it was, in the first half. And we're just 4 out of 18, if I'm not mistaken. And then in the second half, allowed the game to come to us. Didn't shoot as many threes. I think we shot 11, made 6 of them. So obviously over 50% in the second half from beyond the arc. But Coach Schwartz, he had this to say about the 6-0 run. He said that that 6-0 run to end the half was big as it let our guys see the impact of our pressure and the way the defense led to offense. And he felt as though that carried over into the second half.
No question about it. In fact, I remember a long time ago, 1986, I was at the Duke basketball camp and Coach K talked about how defense breeds offense. I'll never forget that. I'm 13 years old, you know? And so it makes me really proud to know, I know with Coach Dooley now, with Coach Schwartz, really big on defense. And so that's one thing that really, that's what, you know, another thing the coaches always talk about is how you may have an off night shooting, but you surely should not have an off night with playing defense. And so it's great to see the pressure they put on. And it really, Bubba, that really got us back in the game. I mean, if we had not played defense, then we would have never won that game.
No doubt. And Tony Parham chimes in saying that as far as the defensive intensity, definitely picking up, and how Mercer in the second half, they did not make a three-point shot until fairly late in the second half. And as Tony also says, defense travels.
No doubt, my man. And, you know, with the – you're right in the as far as the three-pointer, I was actually I will not lie. I was waiting for the punch from Mercer, meaning they would go on a little bit of a tear, and it really just didn't, to my recollection. I don't remember it happening. If it had, then we probably wouldn't be talking about a win, and we'd be talking about a close loss. But really happy that they did not, obviously, have the run that I was expecting. And you know what I mean, Bubba? Like just having two or three baskets quick, kind of like we did at the end of the first half. I was expecting that sometime in the second half, and our team did a nice job of playing great defense. I thought the ball movement I thought was great last night too. overall. By the way, a good friend, Shale Powell, has a quick question. He says, I was talking to someone, this is non-basketball, well, no, it is basketball related. He was talking to someone at Charlotte Catholic today where the quarterback is a wide, a West Virginia University quarterback commit and the tight end's a Notre Dame recruit. Football is a full ride. I know baseball is not. Is basketball full ride just like football? Yes, it is, Shale. There are some guys that are obviously walk-ons that are, you know, not, they're not on scholarship, but they do get full rides. And Bubba, there's a what, is it 12 or 13 on scholarship? Off the top of my head, I can't.
13 and then I think 15 for the women.
Yeah.
But Shale, and in baseball, like you said, it's 11.7 overall. But and you can get a full ride in baseball. It just doesn't happen because you have right. you have a 35-man roster, and then you have those 11.7 scholarships that are divided up, and then you have the 25% rule. If you're getting scholarship money, you have to at least get a 25%. It used to be that you could get 5 or 10%, but that's no longer the case, and hasn't been for several years. That has been the case that you you cannot divide it up less than a quarter. But right.
And Tony has a great point too, and to add to it, it's actually not a 4-year scholarship like people think. It's a 1-year renewal, and that means that every year they could take that 1 year. Every year it's kind of year to year kind of scholarship. So just because you get a full ride and you're going to go to play there, doesn't mean that it's a guaranteed 4-year scholarship.
Right. And that's something a lot of people, because it is fairly uncommon to see a scholarship not renewed, or maybe it happens quietly or other reasons are communicated to the media perhaps and so forth. But that is, it is an annual deal where you have your meeting with the coach to renew and sign for the upcoming year. But and getting back to the game, like you mentioned, in the second half when we were slicing into the lead, after trailing by 9 at halftime, he got back up to double figures, even if it may have just been 10 there early in the second half, and then we began to chip away, got it down to one possession, and then they would extend it back out and. Each time we had a counterpunch and then eventually took the lead. And as Coach Schwartz said in his post-game remarks, learned a very valuable lesson, how important it is to knock down free throws, because we had a 5 or 6 point lead but couldn't put the game away because we missed free throws and then had an untimely turnover or two in the waning minutes.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you that there is talent on this team, which I was proud of. We obviously knew the guys that bought into coach and stayed on. Great point. Johnny Robertson, another great guy that we think a lot of, said RJ had 10 total steals last season. He had 4 in the first half last night. I knew that he had multiple ones. I didn't know it was 4. And not only that, in the first half, Bubba's the stats guy. But I was going to mention, he was one of the, to me, RJ was one of the unsung heroes, of course, winning the at Menji's Madness. He won the slam dunk competition. I love RJ. I love his athleticism. But that's the those kind of things like that. I know they were in the stat book, but steals are so underrated. I'm a huge fan. I don't know about you, Bubba. I love to see a steal. Obviously not for our team when we're on defense. I don't want to see it when somebody steals a ball from us. Obviously, but that was great from RJ last night. I thought he had a good game in addition to the other guys.
Yeah, Coach Schwartz has given those returning players a lot of credit. And last night we saw what they're capable of. I mentioned Brandon Johnson and how we had seen last year. Nothing like what we saw last night because of his extended range. He's a much more complete player now. And when he first knocked down the shot, I did not realize his different haircut from from a season ago. And I did a double take. I said, who made that NBA three? And he said, Brandon Johnson. I said, Brandon Johnson. Brandon, what a night he had. 24 points, 7 rebounds, 8 for 12 from the floor, 3 for 6 from beyond the arc. And that extended range is awesome to see, not only for just the type of player he can be and is becoming, but for this team who needs scoring after losing so much from a season ago. It's great to see he and Javon Small do what they did, combining for 47 points, both of them producing career highs. Obviously, for Javon, it's far and away his career high. Brandon, I don't recall what his high was a year ago. I think there were times where he at least got between 15 and 20, maybe in the low 20s. But Brandon Johnson and Javon Small combined to make 6 three-pointers and score 47 points. And then R.J. Felton, 11 points, 4 rebounds, those 4 steals that were already referenced by Johnny. And so you had those 3 returning players produce 58 of the – and obviously you had some from Luigi as well. So I'm trying to recall for Luigi. I know Luigi, the steal that he had, the fast break dunk. That reminded me of last year when he stole the ball Coach Dooley made the joke when he was asked if he was something about Luigi bringing the ball up the court and what he was thinking. And Coach Dooley very quickly responded that I thought about maybe getting out of coaching and getting my real estate license. but Luigi DeBo, and he only played 8 minutes last night, but he those were his only 2 points. But yeah, my point being that the returning players had about 80% of the Pirates' points last night.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That was one of my points I was going to make, is I'm really happy for Coach Schwartz that those guys stayed, not only stayed, but they really bought in. He talks about that, how proud he is of those guys. And I just wanted to say how proud I am of Coach Schwartz, because coming here, taking the job and, you know, losing the players. And, you know, we've heard that stat so much, 80% of the scoring gone. But hey, you know what? There's a lot of talent on the team. And we see here that, you know, and another thing that people don't know, and Bubba, you and I like shake our head, and I know both Johnnies that watch the show, and there's Shell, there's so many, Tony, of course, letter winner, but there's so many people that watch and listen. And it's just so funny, because the people that don't know, you know, like coworkers and family and friends or whatever, they're like, Mercer? And I'm like, yeah, the same Mercer that beat Duke a few years ago in the tournament. You remember them for Macon, Georgia? They're no joke, out of the SoCon, and they're a tournament team. So it's not, you know, a cupcake team. This is a team that I was happy to see. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, I wanted to tip my hat to Coach Schwartz, because your very first game, he could have had a cupcake, but Mercer is no joke. And you'll probably see that they'll have a good year in their conference. And it was a good test for us. And so I was happy that he did that. And if anybody knows anything about me, I don't like playing cupcakes. And I understand why you do, but at the same time, a great way to start the era for Mike Schwartz.
Yeah, as you see there on the screen, for our viewers, the Pirates have now won 23 straight season openers, and the majority of those, as you just mentioned, have come against inferior competition. Last night, that not being the case, not all, but the majority of those have been against teams the Pirates should have certainly beaten. And last night's certainly carried more weight, and it was great to see the Pirates rally from down 16 to win that game against a team that has a program that's averaged 17 wins over the last 3 seasons under their current coaching staff. Also, as you see on the screen, some other post-game notes, and there's certainly a lot more that we'll say, but these are just some of the things that stood out, a couple positive, a couple negative. But Mercer outscored the Pirates 38-32 in the paint. David Craig, the 7'2".
He was.
And I mean, extremely large human.
It was amazing. It was.
From South Africa. I mean, yeah. he caught the ball. He probably had, I think he had 9 points and 5 rebounds. It seemed like more because I think probably at least two or three of those baskets were on dunks. And he was really impacting the game, even though he didn't score in double figures. And I was a little surprised down the stretch that they did not put him on the floor more.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you would not believe in person. TV doesn't do justice for players like him, but he was literally so wide. And, you know, when you think about 7'2", you think about this tall, like, tree. You don't think about, like, somebody. Not only did he have the height, but he was one of the widest human beings I've ever seen. Wide, wide, wide. And Tony says, that's right, Tony. He was a mountain. Absolutely, brother. He was a mountain. And I was like, man, he is really, like you said, Bubba, impacting the game because, you know, he can block shots. You know, he's very intimidating when you get around him and you're trying to make a basket at 7'2". But his body, you're not going to be able to post up on him very much with a body like he had.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting to see how he continues to do. And also, Mercer had an advantage in points off turnovers. I believe the Pirates finished with 14 turnovers, and we'll go over the entire team stats here in a moment. But 14 turnovers for the Pirates, 11 for Mercer. Mm-hmm. And the Mercer Bears had a 13-point advantage in that aspect. And then Winston Tabbs, it was great to see Winston. You know, that young man's gone through so much. But to see him play finally, and no, he didn't perform the way he would have liked, but I think he played 10 minutes somewhere in that neighborhood, 1 out of 5 from the floor, so he did get his first bucket as a Pirate. And I know much better nights are ahead, but the biggest thing is that Winston Tabbs was healthy enough to get on the floor and play for the first time in the purple and gold.
Yeah, certainly it's a big it's been a Tony said he was a mountain. Well, it's been a mountain for Winston Tabbs to climb. I mean, it's unbelievable. You want to talk about somebody that's had a long road of recovery to come back from an injury. We thought he'd be back, and what it's been 2 years, Bubba. It seems like it's been 2 years since the injury when he was coming from Boston College to us in Greenville. So anyway, it's great to have him on the floor, and hopefully we can – that would be great, man, if we could get him back 100% and be able to contribute to, like, double figures every night.
Yep, and then finally, there on the screen, you see the attendance, 4,610. Not great, but for where this program's been, that would have been the second largest crowd last season. And the largest crowd being a little over 5,100 for our thrilling win against Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
And that is 1,000 more than what we had in last year's season opener. Obviously, a lot of excitement for the beginning of the Schwartz era. And then, you know, kudos to the administration. Is when you market it and, you know, promote it, then good things happen, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and by the way, on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock against Presbyterian, we saw on social media there's gonna be a blackout. So you know how much I love the uniforms in football. I'm very excited about seeing that for basketball, and that's gonna be great on Saturday again at 4 o'clock, and that'll be great for the second home game in the Mike Schwartz era. I want to say Mike Houston so bad at the Mike and Mike show, right, for football and basketball. But the Mike Schwartz era, glad to have him in Greenville. And I know he's excited, and I appreciate his comments he had for the students and our fan base. That made a lot, and certainly he knows how to sell the program. And when you have wins, it's easier to sell the program. And hopefully, we can do that. We should be able to do that on Saturday, but we'll definitely see. You never know unless you don't show up.
Yep. Did notice that earlier this afternoon as far as the blackout. And hey, I love the excitement by the Minji's Maniacs and just the crowd in general last night. It got loud there as the Pirates made a run, and that was awesome to see because we've very rarely seen that in recent years. So hopefully that was just the tip of the iceberg, and it's a great launching point, and the Minji's Maniacs will continue to take this thing to where we want it to be on a consistent basis. I think I saw that there was nearly 1,800 students in attendance last night. If we can get that, or right a little over 2,000 night in, night out, that will be tremendous. And they make such a difference. The 1,000 shirts that were given away, that was an excellent job by the administrative team. And those shirts were awesome. They need to sell those at the UBE and Dowdy student stores.
Well, you know, one of the things that Kyle and I were talking about off air earlier today about basketball is maybe we can have items that are exclusively just for basketball. And there you go. There's a T-shirt right there. All of the money from that T-shirt goes to basketball. You know what I mean? So if you're a basketball fan and you're supportive of the basketball program, like we are, season ticket holders, then the only way you can get that shirt is if you buy it there at the game or at the, you know, student stores. But I really felt like that those, and Bubba, you and I were talking about, we saw it on social media, and those shirts, oh my goodness, I saw them last night. I'm like, how about those of us that are season ticket holders, can we get those shirts? But hey, if we had the opportunity to buy one, I would love to buy them that would be cool to have them for the kids too.
Yeah, love the Script Pirates. And yeah. Getting back to the team statistics, I talked about those turnovers and Pirates, a few more than you would have liked, but that's not surprising. First ball game, so many new pieces. But the Pirates, after shooting it poorly in the first half, better shot selection, got more things going in the basket, inside the arc in the second half. Ended up shooting 46.6% for the game, 27 out of 58. Meanwhile, Mercer, 50%, 28 out of 56. And the Pirates, 10 out of 29 from beyond the arc. But like I mentioned, 6 out of 11 in the second half, a little over 50%. And Mercer shot just under half as many threes, 6 out of 14 for Mercer, a solid 42.9%. And the Pirates, we were shooting free throws very well and then struggled down the stretch in crunch time, finishing the game 13 out of 21. But at one point, I don't recall the exact number, but I want to say, I don't know if we're 11 out of 13 or 12 out of 14, but then really struggled, like I said, in the waning minutes of the game. And Mercer struggled to convert from the charity stripe also, finishing at 56.5%, 13 out of 23. The Pirates out-rebounded the Bears 37 to 33. And then Mercer had an edge and assist 18 to 14.
Yeah, in fact, our Tony Porham, he mentioned got to make free throws, and he's exactly right. He said his comment on there on Facebook, you know, that I always say the difference between a good team and a great team is free throws. And Bubba, I there's going to be some games that our competitive games, and if we can't make our free throws, that might be the difference of winning the game or not winning the game. And I know everybody says that when it comes to basketball, but it really is. Free throws are kind of, wouldn't you say, Bubba, that free throws are kind of like the special teams for basketball? So if you don't have, I know that's a loose comparison, but if you don't make those free throws, those are, I mean, a number of points that you're not getting. And then there's other points that the other team could be getting that you're not. So we've got to do that. And like Tony said, free throws wins games. And absolutely, brother. I mean, everybody, again, really proud of this program with the first game of the season. I know, and everybody says, Dave, it's a new era, a new season. It's non-conference. But I think that Kyle and I were talking about this afternoon, this team will have a nice little run in non-conference, and that'll set things up.
Yep. And Kyle chimes in saying Coach Schwartz comes across as very likable and engaging with the fan base. You have a team that hasn't played together before. You come from double digits down, like we already talked about, coming from 16 down to win. That shows that they've undoubtedly bought in. And if he can recruit, this could work. And speaking of that, Pirates have an excellent big man coming in.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how he pronounces it, but we'll call him Cy, and that's C-Y. And he's a 6'11", 200-pound big man that had offers from Seton Hall and Cincinnati, among others, in addition to the Pirates. So, obviously, Seton Hall and Cincinnati have had an awful lot of success in recent years, so that's impressive. And we also have a solid local commitment and point guard from Nash County.
No doubt. And that's, I tell you what, you know how I feel about basketball, Bubba, and I've said for many years, I know Tony, there's a lot of us that we love basketball, and Tony played at ECU, a letter winner, and it's just, it's frustrating. We are the basketball program at ECU is enigma because we should be a lot better than we are, and no one's delusional to think we're a blue blood program. We don't have that kind of culture or history, but there's no reason why we have to be embarrassing every single year. And so that's why we're actually hoping that it'll be a turnaround here for Mike Schwartz. And
that's and is Cy Malonga from Evangel Christian in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, Malonga. Yeah, he Malonga is one that certainly very.
Thank you, Johnny Gardner. I thought that may be the case, but I was not sure and did not want to butcher it any worse than I probably already did. But pronounced as Sear, C-Y-R, Sear Malonga.
And Coach Schwartz. That's one of the things we talked about. He's a likable guy. I really liked him. He certainly. The one thing that I noticed about him is how much he cared about his players. Watching the first practice, and having us in the media, we got a chance to watch it. Very nice guy. He has probably some of the I would say probably the most energy I've seen from a basketball coach in a long time. And so I give him props. He's very nice to us in the media. So we're hoping that everything works out. Obviously, it's time. We want to coach. In fact, if we could have Coach Schwartz here for double-digit years, something like that, I think the average is over 4 years is our coaching life at East Carolina. But if you could have a coach like him for 10 years with the passion and enthusiasm he has, we could be a tournament team. I don't know how long that's going to take, but I would like to be able to. I was 20 years old, Bubba, 20 years old the last time, right at 20, the last time we went to the NCAA tournament, and I'm almost 50. So it's been a long time, brother, a long time. It'll be 50 year. It'll be, I'll be 50. It'll be 30 years, rather, in March that I've had to wait for a tournament, another tournament appearance for my Pirates.
And the point guard hard commit that I referenced is Jordan Vick from Southern Nash. It's great to see Coach Schwartz and staff establishing those relationships with the coaches in Eastern North Carolina. And that's been something that it's been so frustrating.
Yes.
Over the last few years, several years, and really going back to my childhood, I remember when we lost a guy like Jarvis Lange to Charlotte. And there have been so many quality players that have left Eastern North Carolina. It's great to see some of those hopefully beginning to stay at home. Obviously, this is just a commitment, not a signee, but it's great to see us get a commitment because we haven't even had that in the past. They've just been committing and signing elsewhere.
Yeah, and we have. And the thing about it is, Bubba, I want to mention, I'm glad you brought that up, because Coach Schwartz is making a commitment to Eastern North Carolina kids. And we're not saying, and let me be the first to say that just because they're Eastern North Carolina kid doesn't mean they deserve to be on the basketball team. But at the same time, if they're a really good kid, like you said, Jordan Vick, he can bring a lot of kids. Like, think about Holton Ahlers for football, right? There's a lot of people that love Conley. They've seen that kid grow up for many, many years in the Greenville area. Well, they're going to be buying tickets. They might be buying season tickets to see Holton Ahlers play ball, and they're right there. They're already Pirates. So same thing with basketball with Jordan Vick. Hopefully we can get a lot of people to come by there as well. Shell's asking a non-basketball question, a baseball ace for the team. I know that I will just say this real quick, Shell. My understanding is we have a lot of pitching, and I will say that. I'm not sure off the top of my head, since we're not going to have Wiz, Carson Wisenhunt, who that ace would be. But I do know that it's probably the deepest that we've had in quite a while. That's a lot saying, you know, for the fact of we went to a super regional again last year.
Yeah, still to be determined. I mean, obviously, yeah. Obviously you have the deepest pitching staff. These are Cliff Godwin's words, not mine. In a recent interview, he said that as good as we've been in recent years, that this staff is even deeper. You have the likes of Garrett Saylor, Carter Spivey, some very talented freshmen coming in like Zach Root. So there's no shortage of options. You have a Texas A&M transfer if he can get healthy. And Childress, he's a quality lefty, about 6'4", maybe 225, 230 at least. So there's going to be a lot of options. So it's just going to see who rises.
That's exactly right. And our very own Richard Osbrook said C.J. Johnson should be on the basketball team too. He was awesome on the court in high school. Have we ever had a two-sport athlete? Absolutely. They're guys that have played. In fact, off the top of my head, football and basketball. Oh, my gosh. He's been on our show, too. It'll come to me in a minute. But we've had – it's not something that happens all the time. Troy Smith, as Tony Parham says, thank you. Absolutely, Tony. But this was in the Logan era that I know of. J.J. McQueen, another one. Thank you, Tony. But they, anyway, we're going to – that would be something to say. In fact – I think Cliff Godwin talked about how he wanted to play basketball. Do you remember that, Bubba? And Joe Dooley laughed. but yeah, they joke about it, and they're friends now. But I just thought that was funny. But Cliff Godwin was a tremendous football, basketball, and baseball player. I don't know how many people know that, but you always want athletes that are on your team. And sometimes we weren't as a show for a different day, but certainly you want to make sure that you have athletes and not just specialists who only play one sport. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. In addition to, Tony bringing up Troy Smith, and JJ McQueen, you had Dumaine Duckett. He had a cup of coffee.
Thank you.
Dumaine had a cup of coffee with the basketball team, and, much to the dislike, I guess you could say, with Bob Huggins, Dumaine was not intentionally mugging people, but just he's such a large body out there and not really a Division I basketball player, but a good athlete. And he was playing against that Cincinnati team with Leonard Stokes and Jason Maczyl. And I don't remember if it was Maczyl or maybe it was Leonard Stokes. And he fouled him hard, and Huggins wasn't too happy about it. Let's see. I know there are others that will come to mind.
No doubt about it. And again, I'm not knocking anybody that plays just one sport. So it's better than I can ever do, and especially that level. So don't get me wrong. But certainly when you look at the likes of, I know with O'Reilly, Rosenbaum, Bubba's son and my son, and same thing with Matt Semenza's son, Chase, all play multiple sports. So, and, you know, I would say Alexander's favorite is basketball, but he had his first year of football and did very well, especially considering he had never, ever played a down of football until this year. But he's 9 years old, you know, but he didn't play flag football, for example, and COVID messed him up for what would have been his first year or, first year tackle. But anyway, we're getting off topic here. Basketball, Pirate basketball overtime right here on the Sports Objective. We appreciate everybody. I know Bubba. Big game on Saturday. I know we've gone a little bit long here tonight, but really excited for Mike Schwartz. And the big game is on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Get your tickets, by the way, folks. ECUPirates.com, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Coleman Spain, love the guy over there at the ticket office. Let's make him work hard for basketball tickets and also for football tickets. And by the way, I'll just say this, Bubba, real quick. I'm not going to give it away, but it won't let's just say – keep it on your radar, Shell, and all the folks asking about baseball. It won't be long. All I'm going to say, it won't be long, and baseball tickets will be on sale. So get ready for that. That's all I'm saying. Be ready. Keep it on your radar. If you want to buy baseball tickets and you want to be one of the first to get season tickets, be ready to purchase those. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and one of the things – a couple of the things that I was surprised with last night, I did think that we would probably see a little bit more than what we did of Elijah Jones or Ezra Asar. Ezra played just 2 minutes. And another guy I wanted to mention, or a couple guys actually, Jaden Walker, the Iowa State transfer, played 23 minutes, 7 points, 3 rebounds, a couple assists. Had a nice dunk, showed that he could knock down a shot and as well as put the ball on the floor. So we'll see how he continues to progress. But I like what I saw from Jaden in his first game as a Pirate. Caleb LeCount, same thing, knocked down a couple of threes and played 20 minutes. And Benjamin Biala, 22 minutes, had just one shot attempt. But he pulled down 5 rebounds. Like Coach Schwartz said, a lot of people and the average fan wouldn't think about this. But in addition to those 5 boards, just his presence being a larger body for a wing and having some bulk to him, having his presence on the court and being able to get that foul when we intentionally fouled there. When we were up three and fouled so they couldn't get off a game-tying three. He was the one that committed that foul right around mid-court when the Mercer player tried to throw it up toward the basket, but they said the foul, of course, came before. So those were things of note. And kind of moving on to some results over the last couple nights around the American. You had Cincinnati blowout Chaminade 98-55. You had Wagner. Wagner upset Temple 76-73 in overtime. Memphis, Penny Hardaway and the Tigers beat Jerry Stackhouse and the Commodores 76-67. You had number 3 Houston blowout Northern Colorado 83-36. UNC Asheville. What a thriller. And I watched about the last, I'd say, 5 to 7 minutes of regulation in both overtimes. And UCF was shorthanded. They had at least 2, maybe 3 starters out. Brandon Suggs did have a solid first game of the night, scoring 16 points. I think all of those, oddly enough, with the exception of maybe a bucket, were before I tuned in. So he did not have as much late in that game, but that was an unbelievable game. UNC yeah. Asheville 98-95 winners over UCF in double overtime down in Orlando. And Drew Pember of UNC Asheville, folks, I encourage you, if you have the opportunity to watch UNC Asheville play on ESPN Plus or just on linear television, watch them play and check out Drew Pember. He had 40 points against UCF for the Bulldogs. Then you have Wichita State. They were victorious over Central Arkansas 79-55. Southeast Missouri State took down South Florida 64-61. SMU was victorious over Texas A&M Commerce 77-60. And the Tulane Green Wave defeated UMBC. Ron Hunter's ball club won 89-67. And then last night, Oregon State defeated Tulsa 73-70.
Yeah, I'm so happy. Those of my friends, I was texting them, their basketball fans, telling them happy basketball season, because I love this time of year, Bubba, as you know, where there's multiple sports overlapping and pro sports and college sports and NASCAR. NASCAR just finished up on Sunday, but a lot of great stuff in the fall. I love it. It's my favorite time of year being a sports fan. It really, really is.
Thank you, Johnny Robertson. We always rely on JR for stats. He said what we were discussing earlier as far as Brandon Johnson's previous career high, he scored 16 against Old Dominion in the tournament down at Coastal Carolina in Conway last year.
Appreciate it very much, Johnny, and glad to have you as always, Johnny Gardner. And Tony, appreciate you, brother, too. Very unselfish team. I like it. I like the fact he's right about that. I was talking about the ball movement and the passing around, and they're really looking to get those touches, and you definitely need that for basketball. Again, I want to remind everybody, get your tickets on Saturday for Saturday's game. You can go ahead and get those at ecupirates.com or call them tomorrow, the business hours. The ECU ticket office, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Pirates taking on Presbyterian. We want to get a huge crowd. Saturday afternoon is my kind of game. I know, Bubba, you probably like it too. Whenever you come down and you have a 4 o'clock game, which means you guys can get back to the western part of the state at a decent hour and not like midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yep, and this is a game. You know, who knows if I wasn't headed to Cincinnati. Yeah. Watch the Pirates and the Bearcats. I may have made the trip, but I'll be tuned in, spending the weekend with some family friends and Stacy's best friend from college lives right outside of Dayton, Ohio, and her husband is the AD at the University of Dayton. We're going to be visiting with them on Saturday and Sunday before we make the long trip back home. But really looking forward to this road trip for a number of reasons, but hopefully to see a Pirate victory and snap that the second longest win streak in the nation at home for the Bearcats at 31.
No doubt. And, really happy again. My final thoughts, really happy with Coach Schwartz as a person, as a coach, really happy for him to start things off with a win, 77-75 for the first game of the 2022-23 season. Hard to believe to say. Hey, want to give a shout-out to our good friend Kevin Walker, LNK Custom Homes. He's a licensed general contractor, and he does a great job with that in the Triad area. Call him, 336-688-8461, and he is the title sponsor, his company, LNK Custom Homes, of the Pirate Playback. And hopefully we're talking about a victory on Sunday nights and getting ready for the Houston game the following week. Porky's Backyard Barbecue, I ate there tonight before the show. And man, I had some great barbecue, Bubba, with the barbecue sauce on it. Man, good stuff. their Porky's Backyard Barbecue. Call them at 252-661-0337. Call the Holiday Brothers, and the Holiday Brothers will get you ready for their holiday party. And they're located 805 East Boulevard in Williamston. Give them a call and go by and see them at Porky's Backyard Barbecue. And their fans of the show appreciate their support of the program. And then, obviously, PGXGloves.com. We want to thank Mark Benicazzi. He's been a supporter for the last few years. Custom baseball gloves, custom batting gloves, football gloves. They have lots of great swag, apparel, and more. And get this promo code. You put in ECU for that promo code. You get 25% off your order. And Kaz has been so good to us. I'm going to tell you something. My son and daughter, kids ask and the adults ask, where did you get those gloves? Because they just really pop. They stand out in a good way. And I appreciate Kaz, pgxgloves.com. Thanks, Kaz, for the support of the program. All right, Bubba, do you have anything before we go, bro?
Yeah, and I was going to bring this up in the open, but we went ahead and dove into talking about the game from last night. But obviously, tremendous comeback, and what a way to start the Mike Schwartz era. And people were commenting on social media. You saw stuff from other East Carolina head coaches, Coach Houston, and you know, had this to say about it.
How about those friggin' Pirates?
Johnny Gardner was in the house last night at Minji's, taking in the action. I know he was fired up about what he saw.
That will always be a classic.
And then I also had the opportunity to catch up with former member of the media, Mark Lindsay, from Pirate Illustrated on the East Carolina Rivals site at the time, and asked Mark if he thought it was a big win, and he said,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So there you have some of the reaction from around Pirate Nation to Mike Schwartz. First victory in the purple and gold.
Sounds good. I can't wait to see how the season unfolds. It's exciting. Pirates get the big win against 77-75 of the Mercer Bears. And, of course, what a great win again. One more time, we'll remind you, Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock, that Saturday matinee, perfect time to take the family, take the kids. And I did that on last night. And we'll look forward to all season long taking my kids. It's one of my favorite things to do is to take them to a ball game for sure. All right, for Bubba Rosenbaum, I am Dave Richmond. You've been watching the Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates. Put your crossbones up and lean side to side. Yeah, and lean side to side. Yeah, and lean side to side. Come on. Yeah. Welcome to the island, man, it's crazy in here. A whole sea of purple and gold waving in here. Keep a plank for the Shark Tank, traders beware, because we got a whole bunch of body sailors in here.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show, and go Pirates!